White Rocket Entertainment.
White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 332.
This is the AU Wishbone, continued off-season coverage.
A miracle in Jordan Hare! A miracle in Jordan Hare!
You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the War Eagle Sports Radio Network.
Welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment, in association with Patreon.com. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, I did that without a script, because I have your outline open rather than mine, so I didn't have any of my usual stuff I read. I had to pull that out of my head and not mess it up, and I didn't mess it up. So, moving on. We are back. It's been a couple of weeks. Not a whole lot really been going on worth doing a weekly show this time of the year, but we certainly have a few things to talk about tonight, including basketball, a couple of football things as spring practice is underway, and there's some stuff going on there, and otherwise just some general Auburn talk. So what's new on your end of the line since last we spoke, if anything?
Auburn has returned to the NCAA tournament. Our long national nightmare is over.
Oh, my God! Holy cow! Oh, my God!
I know we're joking, but I realized today, like, my youngest child will turn 15 in April, and he was not born the last time Auburn made the NCAA tournament.
Wow. And you know, the last time we made it, we had a fairly decent little team. That was the Marquise Daniels team, right? And and watching them, you thought, oh, we'll be back. What would we have done or thought if somebody had told us that after that year, when we lost barely to the national champion? We barely lost to the eventual national champion that year. That's not the only year that's happened, by the way.
Auburn's pattern.
Yeah. What would we have thought if somebody had told us, oh, you won't be back until 2018? Oh.
Well, I would have been depressed, but also I would have told, I would have said, savor this moment.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we have to tell Auburn fans today. Like, this team, is not playing the way it was at midseason, and with the loss of McLemore, it may not reach the heights that we thought it could. But it's in the NCAA tournament, and that's a huge thing, and we should enjoy every second of it.
You know, I was starting to say that Auburn in basketball is like Mississippi State in football, but then I realized Auburn has had more success in the SEC in basketball than Mississippi State has in football. So I'm not exactly sure who we are like in who our basketball program is like in football. There's an interesting parallel out there somewhere, but somebody slightly worse than Tennessee the last 20 years, but slightly better than Mississippi State. Somewhere in the middle there, I think. Because we've had a run in basketball kind of like Tennessee has had in football, but they did win the national championship back before that horrible run started. So we didn't exactly do that. We have had a number one seed and now a number four, but we haven't won the national championship, obviously. So somewhere just below Tennessee, but above Mississippi State. Which is weird since we're probably the second – well, we're probably the second or third worst historically basketball program in the SEC. What do you think?
I don't know about the long-term history of any other program, but
– we're skewed because we came of age at a time when Auburn basketball was at its height in the 80s. And I mean, if all of Auburn basketball history was like the 80s, we would be one of the top three or four programs in the SEC.
Yep.
We'd be on about the same level as, well, Florida won, what, two national championships in a row?
Yes.
But aside from those 2 years, we'd be about the same level as Florida in basketball, or Arkansas, you know.
Arkansas is the national title.
Yeah, they had that one.
And Nolan Richardson won, yeah.
Yeah. So somewhere in there, I don't know. But, well, anyway, so the basketball tournament, football spring practice is underway. We're bearing down very rapidly on A-Day. We got a lot to talk about basketball, but let's go over to the spring practice in football first and get that out of the way. Then we can talk basketball a little bit and then kind of come back around to the news and to listener questions, anything. So what's going on in football spring practice that we need to know about? I know that Jarrett Stidham has thrown a little bit, but not a lot. And basically Malik Willis has been running the first team, right?
Yes, and he's looked good. I think people are pretty happy with him. I mean, then Stidham, the team, they're broke from spring break now. And, you know, the idea is maybe Stidham will throw when he get after spring break. But he's not going to play in A-Day for sure. So, you know, they've been playing all the different running backs. That's the big thing everybody's got their eye on. But I haven't heard anything definitive about one guy or the other.
Yeah,
several other guys have been held out, kind of banged up, some of the starting wide receivers. But they're supposed to be back to full speed after spring break. The two big things in terms of football to me were off the field things. One was there was a graduate transfer offensive tackle that was on the market, and Auburn was one of his finalists, but he chose Texas.
That's the Rice guy, right?
Yeah, Calvin Anderson from Rice. He was like the best graduate transfer offensive lineman, and it was a tackle position where Auburn could have used him. But he had a good relationship with Herb Hand, who now is at Texas, and so he went there. And he was – I mean, he's from Texas. Rice is there, so I get it.
Yeah.
And then the other news, the football news, is that we have a new special teams coordinator, Larry Porter. You and I were kind of down on special teams, especially last year, other than, our – magical kicking machine, and I'm excited to see things shaking up there.
And I say huge.
Yeah, the numbers that this guy has historically, right? Like he had like the number three punt return unit or something in the country a couple of years ago or something. I mean, his statistics compared to what Auburn has done the last couple of years were just night and day, or day and night, depending on how you want to look at it. So. Yeah, I was very pleased about that. Very pleased about that. We needed to do something on special teams, and so what you haven't heard? I am curious about the running backs. Do we have any information whatsoever as far as who's getting snaps, who's with the first team?
I mean, I think they're playing a group of them with the first team and kind of rotating them through. And it's including Asa Martin. But it's the other guys, returning guys you'd expect. And also the guy who was redshirted last year, they had a good bowl practice. They seemed to like.
That was the guy that the headline was something along the lines of, he's like a cross between Kerryon Johnson and what's his name?
Petway,
yeah. And
how
I'm thinking,
soon we forget.
Well, you know me, I forget before they even have left. But I mean... But yeah, I'm thinking, okay, that sounds. I'm very happy with the idea of a cross between those two guys, since we never got them both on the field at the same time. Hardly, maybe we can have him on the field once and have them both on the field at the same time. That's pretty impressive to me. Hearing that description, I'm not sure how it's possible, but okay.
I mean, they seem to feel pretty good about him at bowl practice and at spring practice. So I think he's got a real shot. We know the kind of the strengths and weaknesses of the other guys, the returning guys. And Martin, we don't know anything about. I'm excited to see all of these guys play at A-Day. I mean, I think the headline will be the kind of Malik Willis, Joey Gatewood show.
Right.
But I'm in it to watch the running backs.
To me, that's kind of like saying he's kind of a cross between an F-16 and a warthog, you know, an A-10. I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. How exactly do you do that? That's an interesting combination. So, I really am curious to see, because obviously I'm not sure how our Baylor running back is going to be a blocker. You know, he's just not he's the guy that gets in there and squirts through and gets you 5, 6, 7 yards, or against a lesser team, 40 around the end. But I don't know that he's an every down, first down back in the SEC. I just don't know that that's Martin, right? I just don't know that that's
– That's right.
And I mean, that means that either Malik – the other Malik. Sorry, I haven't
– Malik Miller.
I haven't thought about our players' names in like 3 months, and they're all blanking out now. Yeah, that means that either Malik Miller suddenly gets it going when he's just been completely off the radar for 2 years, or one of the really young guys steps in, right? I mean, it's got to be one of those two, I would think. I don't know how it would be anybody else. I mean, Martin, I don't think. And, I mean, we've got like another little fast guy. I mean, to me, it seems like you're down to Devin Barrett and Asa, right? Who else? And Malik Miller.
Well, and Jartavius Whitlow is the other guy we were talking about
earlier.
That's
the guy that was redshirted, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and he's 6'2", 215. So. Mm.
Okay.
You know, pretty decent size.
Yeah, he's not a little guy.
No. Right. But, I mean, you're right. Devin Barrett is the other guy I think that can really step forward and just kind of take the job. You know, that I think he has that. If he builds himself up physically and kind of does the Trey Mason body transformation over his time at Auburn, he could be that guy.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, he clearly wasn't a power back last year. The only thing they ever did with him was the little pass in the flat, like once a game, they threw the ball to him in the flat, so. All right. Well, that's what I'm really interested in, but we'll see. We got some new receivers coming in. We got some good receivers coming back. I'm excited about our receiving core once it gets rolling. So, but we'll see. Anything else spring practice wise? Anything about the defense?
I mean, I've heard good things about our big freshman safety. Everybody's excited about Smoke Monday. That for a while he was running with first team apparently. So,
nice. Okay. Do we know anything about who our attacking defensive end is going to be this year?
To take Jeff Holland's place?
Yeah.
I think it's probably going to be what's his name that was a true freshman last year.
Oh, T.D. Moultrie? T.D. Moultrie?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Moultrie.
Nice.
Matt, that's everything that I've heard. But we'll see. I mean, it's a long way to go.
It is. Okay, well, I guess you want to look at the basketball a little bit. We played in the SEC tournament. We got a bye through the first two rounds. I don't know if I said it on here, but I was saying that my buddy at the college is a Kentucky grad. He went to grad school there. And, you know, he's a big Kentucky fan, goes every year. And so we were joking about how he says, "You mean they play on Wednesday?" And I said, "You mean it's possible to start on Friday?" So we were both having, you know, different takes on it this year. It was interesting, but
can we count that as two wins?
Yeah, I want to count it as two wins. Heck yeah, we started in the third round basically. So I'm sure we had totally different experiences watching the game, right? Because you had a meeting or something and you had to watch it on tape delay later. And I wanted to call you and say, "John, there's other things you could do." But then I thought, you know what? He's going to see that score. He's going to get to halftime and see that score at halftime. And I want him to have that first half joy. I don't want to spoil that first half joy that I had. We were kicking their butts.
Van, I worked all day Friday. I was in meetings and stuff, and then I ran around after work Friday. I sat down about 7:30 Friday night and started playing the recording. And just at the end of it, I was so disgusted.
No, you're telling me.
I can't believe that I sat here and watched this whole thing. Because I kept thinking, like, okay, Now's the point that when we turn it on here.
Right.
Now's the point we turn this game around. Right. It just kept getting worse and worse and worse.
It did.
So now you have a different experience. Us about your experience with the game.
Well, I don't want to take too long, but here I'll do the Reader's Digest quick version of my entire day. All right. I took a day from work for that. So I have 3 in the year. So there's that. I actually taught my first class, got done at 11, ran over to the train, caught the train to the Scott Trade Center. My wife was annoyed because she wanted to go too, but she had to work, and I was able to skip one class and get out of there. So she was hoping we would win because we were going to go back on Saturday together. So she was disappointed not only that we lost, but that she didn't get to go, you know, on Saturday. So I get to Scott Trade Center, and it's just an ocean of Kentucky fans. And I know they were in the next game after ours. So it's, but it was
one of my coworkers said she was at a restaurant watching the SEC tournament this weekend, and she said, "Is that at Kentucky? What's going on there?"
It seemed like it. Well, they're close. I mean, they're not that far away. They're about 4 hours away, but okay, but we get to the Scott Trade Center, and it's just Kentucky fans everywhere. I saw like 3 or 4 Auburn fans. I was talking to some Kentucky people on the train. I told these Kentucky people that I was in line with to get in. I said I've been to football games in Lexington and saw fewer Kentucky fans. They all thought that was pretty good. So we go in there, and I got this sweet seat down in the bottom area. Let me tell you right now, that's a good place to see a basketball game. It's the St. Louis Blues Arena. Now, see, I thought it was the Rams' old stadium, and it was going to be like the Georgia Dome. So I spent over $100 on a ticket down low to make sure I could see anything. Oh, well, you get in there, and it's a hockey arena. I could have been at the top of the back, you know, the very top, and been okay pretty much. Mm-hmm. So I wasted money there. But, hey, I got to see that game. But anyway, so I got really good seats, and then about 10 minutes in, a gigantic Kentucky guy with his son comes and sits down right in front of me. So I had to say that in front. I was kind of – if he'd shown up at the start of the second half, it would have been a lot more appropriate because then I could have been blocked out the whole second half. All right, so the first half goes by, and I'm enjoying that. It's awesome. And I'm looking at the nachos. They got a brisket nacho. They got a pulled pork sandwich. And I'm thinking, man, I kind of want to get that, but I think I'll wait and get it tomorrow, right? When my wife and I come, I'm going to get the brisket nachos tomorrow. That's why I tweeted with about 5 minutes left in the game. I tweeted, maybe I should go ahead and get those nachos now because there is literally no tomorrow. But anyway, so yeah, there was a bunch of Auburn guys right behind me, the row behind me, and we were all just agonizing together. I mean, you know, John, there was a stretch where there was like 12 minutes to go in the game, and we had 1 point since halftime.
Yes. The first 10 minutes of the second half, we didn't score.
No. Mustafa Heron had 1 free throw out of 4. He was 1 for 4, and that 1 was the only point we had. And we were getting looks. I mean, you know, Bryce Brown was just totally off. Everybody was, you know, even Jared Harper couldn't hit. And people kept saying, well, we look tired. And I'm like, Alabama just played a game wire to wire yesterday. Why are we the ones that are tired? They're the ones that just got through playing. We hadn't played in a week. I just didn't understand that. I didn't understand the whole we're tired thing. We should be well rested. I mean, if we go out against College of Charleston on Friday and people are like, oh, Auburn looks tired, I'm going to be like, do they have to go to Tahiti for a month? I mean, what? I understand that we're shorthanded. I get that. But my gosh, you've played 1 game in 2 weeks. How tired can you be? And you're playing Alabama, for crying out loud. And you're playing in the SEC tournament, for crying out loud. I mean, I hated it for them. I love those guys. And it makes me physically ill and disappointed when they don't do well. But dang, man. I mean, how does that even happen? How do they do that? I don't know.
It was a bad game.
What Alabama was doing that was getting us in the second half, it looked to me, because I'm right there in front of it, I don't know how it looked on TV, was that Sexton was hitting three-pointers. He's a 32% three-point shooter, and he was hitting everything he threw up. And then he started driving fast, right? They started doing what we do. They started playing really fast, And he started just driving right down the middle, and they weren't calling any charges. They were calling fouls on our guys. And so he would either do a layup or get fouled. And that just seemed like everything they did on offense for most of the second half was him just – he just came barreling right down the middle and daring an Auburn player to get in front of him, and he got all the fouls. Did it look that way to you or what?
Yeah, I mean, Sexton is a guy who is going to get drafted high in the NBA draft, and the rest of their guys were mediocre, and he was absolutely unconscious in that game and took over. And on the other side of the ball, Auburn had a bunch of really kind of dumb turnovers and bad shots, and we couldn't buy a basket. We couldn't buy a free throw.
Mm-mm.
Like that was our worst free throw shooting game. It reminded me a good bit of the way we played at Tuscaloosa, just in terms of we were so poor. But the difference was that unlike that game, they were on fire. I mean, Sexton didn't play in that game.
Right.
So I think that was the difference.
Bryce Brown was guarding him a lot, and it seemed like Bryce would chase him all over the floor, keep him at bay, and then he'd either get free just long enough and he'd score or he'd make a pass to score.
Mm-hmm.
Because Bryce was guarding him really well, but he always would score, it seemed like.
But the difference is we aren't going to play anybody like that in the first couple rounds of the NCAA tournament. So.
Lord, I hope not. Well, Clemson?
They don't have anybody like him.
Okay. I don't know anything about Clemson this year. I know they're the fifth seed. But I also know that they play in the ACC and we don't. So if we do beat College of Charleston, and I take nothing for granted this year, and assuming that Clemson beats New Mexico State, although it is a 12-5, you know, upset city, I don't know how we match up against Clemson.
I worry about Clemson and we play Clemson.
Well, right.
I'm worried about Charleston.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, I think they're a team that plays kind of ball control to play. They want to play half court slow down. They don't want to play up and down the court with Auburn. They don't turn the ball over a lot. And they just try to execute in the half court. So if we get them into an up and down kind of track meet kind of game, they're going to be uncomfortable and we can really take it to them, I think. But they're, I mean, again, from looking at their, you know, the advanced stats on them, their in different power rankings and stuff, they're like the 90th best team in the country. They just won their conference. Mm. So we really, really did get, I think, a favorable matchup here. I think it's a team we could beat. I think we've played a lot of really good teams this season. And Charleston isn't as good as, you know, half the teams we played this year. So I think if we go into the game, if we shake off what happened in the SC tournament and go in there and kind of play like we want to play, and take good shots, make the good pass, like an extra pass like we've been doing, I think we're going to be fine. So, I mean, we go back to, you know, playing better defense and, you know, not giving them easy open looks and stuff, I think we're going to be okay. But we can't go in there and get down on ourselves if we have a bad stretch for a minute or two. So,
you know, the basketball team this year has been a lot like the football team in that when they got it clicking, they're as good as anybody in the country.
Mm-hmm.
When Auburn football had it clicking, they were as good as anybody in the country. And when this basketball team was at its peak probably a month ago, they could have gone toe-to-toe with almost anybody. But just like the football team, you know, you lose one injury, you know, one player to injury, and things aren't clicking, and suddenly we can't even, you know, beat Central Florida / get out of the first game in the SEC tournament. So,
here's this. It's a good analogy. But like the ceiling and the floor for this team in the NCAA tournament, like the floor is obviously we play poor, like we did the other day, we lose to Charleston.
Yeah.
Like that could happen.
Yeah.
The ceiling is like they could get in the tournament and have a couple of good games to get hot and be, and you could have a Harper, you know, Bryce Brown, Heron, thing, and they could get hot and absolutely destroy teams, and it could be like that Georgia Tech team with Kenny Anderson and Dennis Scott and Brian Oliver that went to the Final Four. Like, they have the ability to get hot enough and take out the teams trying to do that. I mean, there's no, you know, that is with, I'm not saying that's likely, but I'm saying that is possible.
I'm going to say, I think that one of my favorite games ever in NCAA basketball tournament history was the year that Georgia Tech team with Kenny Scott, 3D, and wasn't that his name?
With Dennis Scott and Kenny Anderson.
3D, yeah. When they played LSU with Shaquille O'Neal and the point guard, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, before he was that. I forget what what his name was before that. That was Chris Jackson?
Yeah.
That was a game. You had some.
It was a great game.
It was so fun. Oh, I loved it. I loved it. But anyway. Okay, so by the way, the game is Friday at 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern on True TV, who now hates me. Did you see the tweet a while ago?
I did. It was very funny. I mean, True TV is owned by TBS and the Turner people.
Yeah, so that's how they end up with the basketball.
So, I am so – I cannot tell you how happy I am that game is Friday night at 7:30, because despite my warnings a month ago, I'm going to have to work, you know, and be busy all day Thursday and Friday. You're probably not see a minute of the tournament during the day.
Oh, man.
And so if the game was during the day, I'd have to do the record it and watch the later thing. But now it's Friday night. I'm good.
You're good. And meanwhile, my wife now works at the college like me, and we're on spring break week, which just happens to coincide with the tournament. So she and I get to watch all day Thursday and all day Friday. We are currently deciding like what sports bar we're going to go to on Thursday and Friday to watch all the games. I'm so excited.
Because Auburn is in San Diego, this means if we will be in the later games on Sunday, probably like a 3 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Eastern start, something like that.
Yeah. You know, it was funny because Friday I took off to go to the basketball game. I didn't even think about it being the first day of my 9-day weekend. And so when the game was over, I was all down. I'm like, oh, just stupid. I don't even think about it. And my wife says, well, we're on spring break now. And I'm like, oh, yeah. It kind of gave me something to perk up about. But, our side of the bracket is the Kansas bracket, which means that my department chair – is going to be she's a huge Kansas basketball fan, so I'll be hearing it from her if we get past the first two, probably, because they're going to beat Penn, and they'll be going up against Seton Hall or NC State. Kansas will, so we'll face the winner if we get to the Elite Eight. No, if we get to the round,
it'd be 16.
Sweet 16, yeah, okay. Let's see, anything. You asked a point about the NCAA tournament history. There was a good story. Somebody went through one of our Auburn beat guys went through and did the 10 best Auburn NCAA tournament games. It's interesting because one of his 10 was a loss that he rated higher than a couple of our wins. You know, like we beat Lute Olson's Arizona with Steve Kerr, I think it was. In the first round in 86, and they didn't even put that one on the list. They had our loss to it wasn't Louisville. It wasn't Oklahoma.
Indiana.
No, it wasn't Indiana. It was another one.
Well,
North Carolina, I want to say, maybe.
Okay. I have 85. Two NCAA tournament stories I want to tell.
Do it.
The first one was in 87, 88. We played Indiana in the Sweet 16, and we were beating them. And we were playing really well, and we were beating them. And Bob Knight had a fit and kicked a chair. He got a technical foul and intimidated the referees. And they got every call for the freaking rest of the game and came back and won. And they went on and won the national title and Keith Smart shot over Syracuse.
Yep.
And the other one that I told the story the last time we were talking about this, but we had some audio problems and it got lost, so I have to tell it again. That the next year, Auburn was playing in the NCAA tournament. They were in Atlanta in the first two rounds, and I was a, I guess, a sophomore. My younger brother was in high school in Atlanta, and I signed him out of high school, and we went to the games.
That's awesome.
And I guess I signed him out and said he was going to the doctor or something. And we got on the MARTA to ride downtown to go to the games. Back then, we're at the Omni. And we looked up, and the assistant principal of the high school and like four teachers were getting on the train with us. They were going to the games too. And we had to, we like laid down on the floor of the train to hide so he didn't get seen going to, you know, missing school to go to the basketball games.
That, and was that the Bradley game?
Yeah, I think it must have been the Bradley game. We because that was the first round. We played Bradley and Hersey Hawkins and beat them.
Yep.
In the first round. In the second round that year in Atlanta, we lost to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
That had Stacey King and Mookie Blaylock and Horace Grant and those guys. So
yeah, that was a team. Yeah, those are awesome memories. The you mentioned the 87 Indiana, and I actually had
the Hoosier Dome in Indianapolis will host round two as we start the NCAA championship second round. It's the Auburn Tigers of the Southeastern Conference against Indiana, the Big Ten. Indiana put away Fairfield. Auburn survived against a tough San Diego team.
So we were an eight seed that year. It seemed like the entire decade of the 80s, we were an eight or nine seed, and we would beat the eight or nine seed, and then we'd play the number one seed in the second round. And some years we won and some years we didn't. We beat St. John's when they were number one. And I feel like we might have beaten Purdue when they were number one. And then went on to the Elite Eight or the Sweet 16 where we would lose to like the number four team or the number three team or something. So like when we lost to Syracuse with Marquise Daniels, they were the number three, and they actually went on to win the national championship. We always do that, right? I mean, we lost to Louisville, who won the national championship. We lost to Indiana, who won the national championship. We lost to Syracuse, who won the national championship. Oklahoma were the runners-up that year. When we lost to that Mookie Blaylock team, they lost to, I believe, Danny Manning's Kansas in the finals. And we lost to, I want to say, North Carolina in 85, and they went, maybe they were the runners-up, if not the national champions that year. No, because that year was, that was the Villanova year.
Yes.
So they were probably a Final Four team.
It was Villanova at Georgetown.
Yeah, so they were probably a Final Four, but not in the national championship. So we've always lost to really amazing teams. But some of our wins, I mean, and like I remember that San Diego game that they were just mentioning when before we played Indiana. They played in San. I want to say they played in Indy. That whole bracket was in Indiana. It was like
a freaking racket.
Yeah, it was a home game for Indiana, the number one seed against us in Indiana, and the Toreros, I think they were, and because I remember Skarbinski's column on it, Tigers top Toreros before 22,000 or something like that. But yeah, I remember that game, the Indiana one, that was amazing. That's the one I was going to mention on Twitter, when they listed the top 10, because that was the game, like you say, where Knight went bananas. Well, you know, what you got to clarify about that is that was a team that had Jeff Moore at center and Chris Morris at forward and Terrence Howard and Johnny Lynn and we'd already lost Frank Ford and Gerald White, I think, right? I think they'd already graduated.
Or were they still maybe, around? I can't remember.
They may have still been around that time. I forget what year was there. I know they were on the team in 86. I don't think they were on the team in 87 or 88.
I thought that they were on the team in 87.
They might have been on the team in 87, yeah. Well, anyway, the fifth man on that team was Michael Jones. And he was powerful. He could go. He could attack the goal, and you know he wasn't as much like a long distance shooter, but he would take it inside and he could attack the goal. And so he was tearing Indiana up in the first half. It was the Michael Jones show. I remember his quote after the game was, "I had the hot hand and they was letting me have it." And I remember him saying that. I used to see him on the way to class a lot. In Haley Center. And so, you're exactly right. Bobby Knight started screaming at the referee. Sonny Smith goes over and stands like in the middle of that scrum where Knight is yelling at the referees. Knight is like melting down, screaming, and Sonny Smith is just laughing. And I asked him later, you know, "What were you laughing about?" He's like, "Well, when, you know, Bobby Knight does that, you either cry or laugh." And I thought it was funny, so I laughed. So he was just laughing at it. But yeah, they started calling everything, and basically Michael Jones got in foul trouble, and I think like Jeff Moore got in foul trouble, and we weren't super deep. And so at that point, you know. The other one I wanted to mention, we talked about the Bradley game. That was one where it was it was 88-86 with about 3 seconds to go. Auburn led Bradley 88-86, and Bradley had the ball, and they were going to inbound it to Hersey Hawkins to put up a three, right, to win the game. And just as they inbound it, Terrence Howard stepped in front of the ball, grabbed it out of the air, and went to the other end and dunked it and ran off the court into the dressing room, and we won 90-86. That was one of the best endings of an Auburn basketball game I've ever seen. That was so cool. Terrence Howard was awesome.
That was a great game. Hersey Hawkins was one of the best players in the country that year. It was really fun to beat them. So
yeah, he'd ring up like 30 or 35 points in every game shooting three pointers, and they just took it away from him. Terrence did. So, all right. Well, let's see. Anything else about the basketball team? I think we've covered most of our basketball stuff. What are you going to do to watch the game?
I'm just going to watch it at home. I'm just going to put my feet up and enjoy it.
There you go. I think we're going to go out somewhere and have a good time.
Okay. I was going to say, make sure now whether you have True TV or not. Do not wait around until Friday if you do the set.
That was the thing. I said on Twitter, True TV, I don't know if I even have that. It sounds like a channel that the U.S. soccer team is on when they play at Guatemala. Well, True TV took – I didn't at them. They just saw it anyway, and they took great exception to that. And they were coming back something smart alecky at me, and I was trying kind of bouncing back with them a couple of times. So I'm assuming I have it, but it's not my fault that their channel is so obscure that I don't even know what it is. So that's on them. Let's see. I guess I should go ahead and thank our patrons, and then we'll get into our listener question segment here in our Around the SEC. Remember, the show is on the air thanks to you guys. We don't have any sponsors right now other than you, the listener, our good patrons. And our goal, again, if you're not keeping track, our goal is if we can stay above 200, we will John and I will attend an Auburn game this fall and do a live broadcast. And we've got Auburn Elvis and some other people kind of working on that. And we got to figure out what game we're going to go to and how we're going to do it. And so our current patrons, and if you want to become one of them, you get to be part of the brackets that we're doing. John set up a pick'em that we're going to compete against each other and try to win that. And
I wanted to say, if you're a patron and you have not gotten your entry email from me, let me know.
Yeah. We want to make sure everybody that's already on board gets to do it, and we want to make sure everybody that's not on board gets a chance to get on board. For as little as $1 a month, you get to participate in the fun, wacky, crazy, and entertaining stuff that we come up with and we'll be coming up with constantly going forward. We got to thank our existing patrons, our big ones, Nicholas Cottrell, Joseph Fine, Christopher Burleson, and Samuel Salvatore. You guys are awesome and keep us afloat. And then you got Phil Amthor of WeHaveDonuts.com as he's the big sponsor of Brandon Marcello's show. Steve Trawick, Richard Stevens, and Justin Bean. And then, of course, David Edwards, Tom Anderson, Timothy, Dan Thompson, Wes Atkinson, Steve Harlan, Andrew Barber, Jared Albrick, Rich Reimer, Bill Matthews, Chris Usher, Will Summerford, John McCune, and Catherine England. And then we have our group of David Simpson, Josh Teal, Mike Finley, Randall Walker, C.T. Wayne, Earl Ricks, Dave Powell, Michael Kirshner, Mick Vigicana, Matt Robinheimer, Chris Thrash, Logan Chilton, George Gaston, Tony Perry, Alex Nguyen, and then Clay Henson, J.W. Rice. I feel like I said J.W. Rice already. People move around on me, and so sometimes I don't mark out the old ones. We appreciate you guys moving around, especially when you're moving up. Wardam Wade, Dave Medinas, Mark Squire, Joey Miller, Matthew Wagstaff, Russell Milling, Rob Morgan, Steven Schuster, James Taylor, John Stubbs, Kenneth Brent Rains, Brent Rumble, Nicholas Craig, and our one-time and anonymous donors. And by the way, John, you have a document where some of our patrons have been giving us very, very, very good, very, very good suggestions for things we should be talking about and doing in the shows to come, both on here and on the Wishbone, and on the White Rocket Show. And if those that don't know, we also do the Pop Culture White Rocket Show, which is just go on iTunes and search White Rocket or at plexico.net. So, for as little as $1 a month, you can be part of that crowd, and I'll thank you every episode on here, and also you get to participate in all of our wacky stuff. You also, at the top level, get free books. So you got that going on too, and discounts at lower levels. So, because I got a new book coming out, John. It's coming out a week from today on March 19th. Do you know what that book is? Have you heard?
Vegas Heist.
Vegas Heist. Yes, my first crime novel. I'm so excited. They're looking to knock over 1965 Sin City. It's my take on kind of a Parker story, an Ocean's 11 story. It'll be on Kindle. You can go ahead and pre-order it now on Kindle. If you go to www.plexico.net, plexico.net, there's already a link there. Or just go to Amazon and search Vegas Heist Plexico, and you'll find it no problem. I think it's only like $2.99 on Kindle. The paperback will be like $14, and it comes out on March 19th as well. So I'm very on Amazon. So I'm very, very excited about that. Let's see. Let me see. Where's Mira? Where did you go, Mira? Aha!
It's time for listener questions. Dun dun dun! On the AU Wishbone Podcast.
Have we the listener questions this week?
We do.
Okay.
The first, I want to group a couple together that came out of the response to the voting for the All-SEC teams and coaches last week. Mm-hmm. And basically your comment that after 2010 in the football season, when we kind of turned our back on being like conference cheerleaders for the SEC.
That's right.
And there were several people who replied and said, you know, this is how it is. Like, you know, we hope that Auburn goes off on a big run to basically stick it to the rest of the league.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to remind people about that. I thought that was a really good discussion.
Yeah.
All right. The best question tonight easily is for Auburn Elvis, who says, now that Auburn basketball has had another championship season, I feel it's my.
Sorry, go ahead.
He says, I feel it's my duty as an Auburn fan to expect the winning to continue forever, and that Auburn will never see a day in my lifetime when Auburn isn't one of the top men's basketball programs in the country. But on the nigh impossible chance this doesn't occur, who should Auburn Twitter and I blame for such an outrage? Bruce Pearl? Alan Green? Jay Jacobs, the FBI, Gus Malzahn, etc.
Chuck Person. just blame Jay Jacobs. He's become our program's voodoo doll. You know, you just stick a pin in him whenever you feel bad about something. Our whipping boy. He'll have been gone for 5 years, and we'll say, Jay Jacobs, darn you. But he's
still dragging us down.
He's still dragging us down. Is he still going to be on the payroll?
It's the lingering effects of his mismanagement got us this problem.
Is he still going to be on the payroll like all of our former coaches, or does he actually get to go away and not keep getting paid?
Oh, yeah. No, he's going to be like he's going to be like athletic director emeritus or something like that.
Lord almighty. Yeah. We're going to be looking for who to blame.
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans. Kevin McHale's not walking through that door, and Robert Parrish is not walking through that door.
And Jay Jacobs is not walking through that door, but yet he's going to still be getting paid, and we'll still blame him.
I thought Michael Scott Nicky had a very good point. He said, Auburn is not the team that it should have been, and now not even the team it was a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. He feels like we were fortunate to be a number four seed in the tournament. We were the top four seed. But, you know, after losing to Alabama, I mean,
that's body of work. That's not where we are right now. We're a number four seed based on body of work. We're a number four seed based on the month of February and January. January, February, we would be a number one seed. Where we are right now, we should be like an 11 seed, honestly. Because we've won two games out of the last, like, eight, right? Mm-hmm. And those were Alabama at home, which we needed, and then the South Carolina game we absolutely had to have to even get a share of the title, thank goodness. So other than that, I mean, we look like last year's team all of a sudden. And it's – I don't know – you know, Brandon Marcello, I think it was, or somebody had a really good point. They said this team went south about 10 minutes before Anthony McLemore got hurt. And that's true.
Yeah. No, they were playing terrible at the start of the South Carolina game. You're right. Yeah. It was their worst performance by far. So.
Mm-hmm. Until Alabama.
Nope, that's it for listener questions.
All right, and then our one last thing tonight.
Let's take a trip around the FTC.
She doesn't sound anything like that anymore. I have to update all of our Mira sound effects. Mira's almost Mira, you know, my book comes out, Vegas Heist comes out on Mira's birthday, March 19th. So she'll be 10 years old, John. Can you believe it?
Wow.
Man, hard to believe. So what's going on around the SEC? We know that Tennessee's the only team that got a higher seed than us, right?
Yes. And, I mean, eight SEC teams got in the tournament, which is huge. It's the most ever for the conference. And I think it also says something about the strength of the league. Like,
yeah,
the SEC was, you know, really maybe the best basketball conference in the country this year. We're going to see over the next week. But I think they really – maybe they were. And I think we're going to prove it. So,
yeah.
And especially, like, because Kentucky's got it together. I think that's a team just by themselves that could go on a rampage, of course. But I think there's a lot of other really good SEC teams. Like Missouri, I mean, if that Porter guy plays – mm-hmm. Yeah, they could go on a run. So I think there's a lot. I think that's big. On the football side of the SEC, we can make fun of Alabama because they're hiring the former Tennessee head coach, Butch Jones.
Wait, who's hiring? Oh, yeah.
Alabama's hiring him.
Right. For some reason, I was still thinking about basketball, and I was thinking about Georgia hiring Patino maybe.
No, that's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen? Okay. All right.
No, I mean, I don't think so.
Okay.
They're desperate to win. They're not that desperate to win.
that's like if we had hired Petrino, right, as our football coach.
Yeah, it's going down that road. I mean, Louisville's, you know, a lot of bad stuff there on the basketball side.
Yeah.
There was something else on the football side. Tennessee got a grad transfer running back. Other schools are having spring practice, but no huge news out of that I've seen so far. I mean, Alabama got a grad transfer quarterback because of the expectation that, you know, theoretically the Hurts would transfer if Tua wins the starting job. So,
yeah, and even if he doesn't, I mean, you've only got two quarterbacks, right?
Yes.
And so, you know, the thing interesting to me so far is that I was curious to see how I was curious to see how UCLA would run their practices, because you remember Chip Kelly was infamous for blasting loud rap music during practice. And I was wondering if they were going to do that at UCLA like they did at Oregon. And it sounded like they did a little bit and then they turned it off or something. So I have one eye on UCLA. I said on Twitter, I'm not used to saying this, but I'm very interested in UCLA in the spring practice. That's not something I'm normally saying, you know, is I'm really interested. You know, John, I'm very interested in UCLA right now. That's just not anything I ever thought I would say. But, you know, I was strongly on the record as saying that I didn't think Chip Kelly was the answer at Auburn and I didn't want him here. But that's not to say I don't find him intriguing and his offense intriguing, and I like seeing it back in college football, you know.
Sure.
And
it's entertaining.
I want to see what he's going to do there, yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah, I think that's about it for me.
All right. Anything else before we get on out of here for this nice short off-season episode and we get ready for a week of basketball madness and spring?
No, I would just say, you know, don't get caught up looking ahead because that's very, very dangerous. Every team in the NCAA tournament is a good team. And so Auburn needs to focus just on Charleston, and we as fans need to focus just on Charleston and get to just deal with that. We got to win that game before anything else matters. And, you know, I think this team can. I think they can, you know, go back home and get over what happened at the NCAA tournament. And I think getting away to San Diego might be a good thing. So as long as they have some time, I think and they will, to warm up with those Nets and stuff, I think they'll be all right.
I'm trying to figure out how a Southeastern team is in the Midwest bracket and plays in San Diego. I mean, does it even have any semblance of reality anymore at that point?
They've gone to this pod system, and it's changed the whole where teams are located in terms of the games are played and stuff. So in that sense, no, it doesn't have anything to do with it.
Doesn't have anything to do with it, right, okay.
It's yeah. They're not – the game locations and are not the same as they used to be in terms of the bracket.
I think you're right. I think our goal number one should be to enjoy the fact that we're back in the tournament on Friday. Just enjoy it, regardless of what happens. And then number two is hope that we win.
And yes, then and enjoy worry about getting to that. See this team again, too.
Yeah,
one more, enjoy at least, seeing them play.
At least one more time, hopefully more, but at least one more time we'll see this group, yeah. And it'll be interesting to see who we have on the roster, what the roster looks like next year.
Yes.
Okie dokie. All right, well, I guess that's going to do it for another episode, and we're going to get on out of here. We're going to enjoy March Madness. So our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle.
So what becomes of you, my love? When they have finally stripped you off, the handbags and the glad rags that your granddad had to sweat so you could buy.
Okay, I'll get this one up later tonight, probably, since I don't have to go to work tomorrow.
You suck.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.
Go to bed.